Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, and health. We have a very inspiring individual that's going to be telling her story and knowledge around fitness and health tonight, but you know my format. First, as always, I got to give a few shout-outs. So the first shout-out goes out to all the February birthdays, wishing all you February babies a very, very happy birthday all month. We don't just celebrate a day. We celebrate just being alive a whole month. I hope everybody that had a birthday in February had an amazing time. And next shout-out goes out to my friend Mark Winkler. Thank you so much for being on my last show. And, you know, thank you for all the wonderful work that you do from your heart in philanthropy and for just being a dynamic leader all around. You know, I really appreciate your topic and just all the wisdom that you shared with us earlier this month about leadership. It's just so critical and important. So thank you so much for being a part of my show. But not least, shout out goes out to my daughter, Ms. Brianna Michelle Williams, who will be in the season 9 MasterChef Junior starting on March 4th. It is going to be amazing. Hope you all are able to tune in. So excited about this. And I'm super, super excited to introduce to you tonight somebody that I actually met through my Pilates journey. I'm interviewing tonight, and I'm super excited because, you know, one day after class, I shared about my knee injury and, you know, how therapeutic Pilates has actually become for my knee after having that injury and, you know, kind of explain, you know, the story. She started actually explaining the stories of Pilates, and I was like, what? I had no clue why it was, you know, who invented it and for what, and I didn't know the history at all. I was just trying something new. But this has been – I've actually canceled my cortisone shots to because of this class, like all because of this class. That's how much this class has impacted my life. And like last week, I think I only went like one time, a couple times because I had a really busy week. And, or no, I think it was this week. This week I've only went one time, probably in the last week. Normally I've been going like anywhere from 3 to 5 times a week. But boy, when I do not go, I feel it. I don't feel right. Like, so it really has made an impact on my life. But I want Katina to tell her story and the story of how it was created. So I'm not going to talk about it too much. She's an accomplished fitness operations leader, skilled at developing and implementing effective health and safety programs. We are going to bring her on. Let's see. About to bring her on right now. Let's see. Hey, Katina, you are live on air. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. That was a great intro. I love all the shout-outs.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, just I always try to start it out with just giving people love out there, you know. I think we all feel good about receiving that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Pisces, this is a month for the Pisces. I got 3 of them in my life. So I know this is a month of birthdays.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people born around this time, the love month. Love Month. We have Black History Month. You know, it's a short month. Actually, I think this year is like leap year, right? There's like 29 days. It's usually only 28, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So my one of my friends actually has a birthday tonight, this month.
Oh, my goodness. That's so awesome. That's so cool. It is. That is crazy. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on my show tonight. I know you're super, super busy, but, I just explained, as you saw, like, or heard to our listeners about how we met. And I do got to give you your shout out that you're literally one of the best instructors, if not one of my favorites in the Pilates studio, because I know that, I mean, so many different instructors rotate. But, you know, you actually explained why I was feeling the way I was feeling in Pilates, which was amazing. So I just I want you to tell, before we start kind of getting into discussion about you, I want to, if you could tell our listeners about Pilates and how it was created. I think that'd be a great starting point.
Yeah, Pilates is actually the last name of a German gentleman named Joseph. He, as a young child, had rickets and a lot of personal challenges, respiratory, et cetera. And he had experiences in being a gymnast, bodybuilding, martial arts, boxing. He was in the circus for a little while. But he felt at a certain age that he should be able to heal himself. So with all those various experiences that he had, he began just getting on the floor and just moving around and trying things out. And he developed what we know is the mat series. And in the mat series of exercises that are done on the floor, it's a sequence. So because he had an experience in yoga, if anyone's ever done yoga, there are salutations. Yes, there are different disciplines of yoga. And in some of those disciplines, you're doing a sequence of movements. And that's how he formatted his Pilates mat exercises. Now, when him being German, unfortunately, when World War I occurred, and mind you, this all happened, he was born in 1883. So he developed all this in the early 20th century. So this stuff is a good 100 years old. I know a lot of people think that it is brand new. No, it is not. But when he was a prisoner of war, he wanted to help. He was a nurse. He just decided to volunteer and be a nurse because he felt very strongly that with the system of exercises he developed on the floor, that he could help other soldiers and also the bedridden soldiers. However, the bedridden soldiers could not get out of the bed to do his exercises on the floor, and this is how he developed the reformer as we know it. He just adapted his floor exercises. He connected pulleys and straps and ropes to their canopy twin-size beds, and then that's how he developed the reformer. And that was on the Island of Man where he was, I believe, where he was a prisoner of war. So obviously he wanted to leave that situation, and like many, he came to New York. In the, I want to say like the early 20s, early to mid 1920s. And he touched down in New York. He ultimately opened up the studio, and it just so happened that the first curious people to come into a studio were dancers. So people, again, thought that he developed this for dancers, but the Martha Grahams and the George Balanchines were the first to be curious and recognize, hey, this can be really advantageous for the type of movement that dancers do to complement and to keep them injury-free and as healthy to dance as possible, especially George Balanchine. He has a history of being really hard on dancers, so he definitely at least co-signed on having this balance of using Pilates. So that's really how it all started. And by the way, I'll say that he exercises contrology because he wanted to teach people how to be purposeful and intentional and how people move. So contrology, learning how to control yourself, control your body, control your mind. That was his ideology.
That's amazing. And I'm one of those people that thought that Pilates also came from like dancing and ballet and it was some new phenomena, you know, if you will, not the traditional way you work out, but boy, did you school me that day, you know, when I was telling you about my knee injury and how, like, I couldn't believe I didn't have to get cortisone shots. Like, I just stopped doing it because, it allowed me more flexibility. I felt less sore. I felt myself, like, standing in Pilates V to get my posture straight. And I would just, like, I became more mindful the way that, you know, I developed bad habits as a boxer. You know, used to box, always punched over, developed the worst habits. Boxers are like the worst at, you know, posture and, you know, just trying to like unravel those habits and do something that was more productive. And what I love about your instruction is that, you know, you could close your eyes and listen to the instructions that you say and actually be able to do the movement. Like, it's incredibly hard to tell directions, period. Like, I don't care what it is, if you're tying your shoe, making it your favorite dish, whatever it is, it's incredibly hard to tell, like, clear directions. And with clear directions, you get clear results. And that's one thing that I really appreciate about you is that you are very thorough with your instruction and you let us know the why behind it. Hey, guys, if you do this, this is what will happen. And we do this because of this. And those type of things, you know, it just – the hour makes the hour go by quick, but I will say, I mean, it is not easy. You know, Pilates is, you know, at first I didn't even know what the number was. So I was going in level two, 1.5 in two classes.
Oh no.
And I had no clue. My first three classes were like advanced classes and instructors were like, okay, I've never seen you before. And I'm like, oh God, you have to have permission to do it. And I didn't.
Yes.
And then I went and dropped down to one and I was like, oh my God, this is so much better. Like, I had no clue what I was doing, but I made it happen. I didn't want to look like a fool in the class.
Yeah.
But,
because you're a background, you're not some sedentary, you know, person. So you were able to fake it through. But, yeah, I mean, I would say a couple of things to the point of what you mentioned. One, the only form of movement that actually was designed for dancers is something called gyrotonics. There aren't a lot of instructors in that, but that was specifically for dancers. And then, I played volleyball. So when you're talking about boxer's posture, we were that all day on the court of volleyball because if you're going to be passing balls, you have to have your shoulders rounded and you're in that low squat and you're passing with both of your forearms together. But because I had a dancer's foundation before I got into sports, saw other girls and how they were hunched, I was like, yeah, no, that's not happening over here. As soon as I'm out of practice and out the door, I go back to my goofy ballet, you know, posture. So it was quite funny at the time. But, there are a lot of sports where the posture, basketball, you know, a lot of things. But, it is about changing the way people think about moving. I like to change the way people think about how their car seat is set up. So when people don't really think about that, but, you know, when you're sitting in your car and you're driving, whether you commute or you just take short distances, you know, do you tend to shift your weight out the window? Is your left elbow hanging out the window? Do you lean your hips over? If you have an automatic, if you have a stick shift, you know, what are you doing with the left foot that is just hanging over there? How are you holding on to the steering wheel? Obviously, we know it's supposed to be 10 and 2 or 9 and 3, whatever it is, but are you sitting back? Do you have lumbar support in your seat? Are you sitting up and back? Those are the kind of things that I'm thinking about in helping people to change how they do that because people have issues in their body, especially lower back, and they think it's because it's something that they must have just done. when they don't consider the years, the decades of doing things unconsciously, gaining weight, whether it's an injury. You have to be conscious and think about how are you going to change those behaviors in order to heal. And the only time that you are really not conscious is when you're asleep, right? And when you're awake, you really have to do the work and think about, you know, when I'm at work, how am I going to stand in line at the market? Am I going to lean on the cart or not? These are the little things that add up over decades. And people have to start thinking about that. And that's my intention, at least when I'm teaching. It's not just so much I got people in the room and, you know, let's get our sweat on. No, you're here, and I need you to be here with me now because I want you to leave here thinking about what are you going to adjust, that one thing that you're going to adjust in your behavior so that you're on the road to healing and being where you want to be.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just like I was on the freeway today for 3 hours. 3 hours.
Ugh.
And I mean, living in LA, you know, just because I mean, 3 hours like total, because, you know, I was out there doing, you know, a nutrition, you know, I'm a nutritionist. So I was out there doing a meeting, and we did a culinary art demo and all kinds of cool stuff today. And in doing that, like in commuting to work, coming home and commuting to the location I went to, 3 hours in the car. So it's critical.
Yeah.
And then too, a lot of us, you know, work from home, we might not have ergonomic, you know, sound chairs.
Yeah.
And just the computer posture, all of those things matter. And
yep.
I find myself doing it. Sometimes I hear you talking to me when I lean to one side, cause I'm compensating with that good knee. And then I'm
exactly.
like, oh no. Katina says, you know, put your heels together. And just for everyone to know what Pilates V is, right? It's funny. We're on a cruise, this last weekend, and I was telling my friends about good posture, and they're like, no way. I'm like, yeah. They're like, I look like a penguin. I'm like, I'm telling you, try it. And they're like, oh my God. Cause my cousin had a shirt that said Posture Police. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get that for Katina. Cause she was running around like going, hey, posture ladies, posture. And it was the funniest thing. She's like, I need a whistle. I'm like, if I would've knew you had that shirt, I'd have bought you a whistle. And it's like you put your heels together and you put your toes out. But when you do that, you automatically open up your shoulders, kind of your lat muscles, your back kind of like start to twist back there in the back. And you just automatically can't even slump that way, like if you tried. So
no,
I think about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's important, you know, because another thing that I like to – talk about in class is if we separated your body into three parts, lower, middle, and upper body, and in Pilates they call it critical connections. So your three critical connections. One is your heels. So you're bringing your right side of your body and left sides of your body together, because some people favor one side. Maybe one side is injured and we overcompensate. Okay. So the heels coming together, but the big toes, not a ballet first position, because in ballet, we're always trying to get as much turnout as possible. Here, it's the reverse, because then you'll lose the connection in Pilates and the legs. It's a wrapping that we talk about, meaning you're wrapping the muscles from your quads into your outer thighs, into your hamstrings, into your inner thighs. And if your toes are too far apart, you miss that wrapping connection. Because especially as people, we tend to be very strong in our quads. Some people not as strong in their hamstrings, but definitely underused, underactive muscles are your inner and outer thighs. So this is what Pilates tries to address and why your feet are making a letter V and your big toes are about peace fingers apart. Now, your second critical connection from your heels would be your belly button. Now, specifically what we're trying to target are the 2 inches below your belly button, and we call that your transverse abdominals. That's where your body's balance comes from. But I don't know, other than a belly dancer, when they undulate their stomachs and they can move their stomachs like that, they're probably the only
yeah.
types of people who can really, you know, zoom in on those 2 inches. So we call it the belly button. And I usually refer to it as belly button as the thread and your back as the eye of the needle. And then finally, your upper body. So nowadays, you know, smartphone posture and pinching between your shoulder blades is going to begin assisting and correct that either hunching or that shrugging and protruding the neck out. If you're pinching between the shoulder blades, because you're trying to get the shoulder blades to go down your back into your pant pockets. So those are your three critical connections, and anybody, I usually just start them with that, just understanding those three things, because that takes you into your car when you're standing in line. That those three things can just take you anywhere and everywhere.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah, I love how it just is so applicable just to life in general. Just like you
yeah.
make it applicable to your life, not just this is what you're doing to work out. This is something that will help you with your life. And I mean, truly stretching, you know, I did yoga and yoga. It was so hard as a boxer to do yoga because I'm like, this is so slow.
Mm-hmm.
I like contact sports.
Yeah.
I like action. I like
yeah.
football.
Yeah.
I need to hit something.
Yeah.
I'm like, yoga was
yeah.
just killing me. But then I was like,
yeah.
I started loving it. Even though I was not that great and like the least flexible, I was a girl in cheerleading that got the splits the night before. I was that girl.
Yeah.
Never, I like, you know, forced myself into the splits. But like, this is actually making me, you know, more mindful. The more we stretch, the more we move, the better we feel, period. It happens like that. But you're so much more than Pilates. You know, you have such a, you know, I geeked out in your LinkedIn. I Googled you, girl. I went all over looking at what you do. Yeah, I had to. I mean, you know, as a reporter,
yeah.
as a journalist, you know,
yeah.
as a, you know, you got to do that. You have like an amazing, you know,
at all.
But look at, you know, you don't. And I never knew anything about you until I kind of started asking questions like, you know, in class, I'm like, I got to get you on my show. You know, I want to know more about, so you've been in the fitness industry since 1990, according
yeah.
to your LinkedIn.
Yep.
I want to
yep.
know.
Yeah.
I want to
know
more about, like, your career and how you, like, what have you done in fitness since 1990? That's a long career in fitness. So tell our listeners, tell me, what have you done?
Yeah. It happened by accident because I was attending school, oddly enough, to your point. I wanted to be a sportscaster, but I didn't think that women were going to have much chance at that. But I'm always great with kids. So I was working at a child care center and I thought about, you know, maybe teaching in LAUSD. And then one summer, I don't know what happened, but I was at Bally Total Fitness, for those of you who remembered Bally Total Fitness. And I was working out in Hollywood, and it happened to be the first day that step aerobics was being introduced. So, yeah, that's how old this is. And I was in the back of the room, and I was picking up the movements very quickly, but I was kind of turned off by the instructor. At that time, we had people on stages, instructors on stages, because the rooms were big for fitness. But anyway, the manager happened to see me and how quickly I was picking up the moves. And bottom line, she hired me the following week because I just happened to pick up things quick. And plus with my dance background, you know, it just really wasn't that difficult for me. I quickly got into training, personal training, and learning fitness. And I was like, oh, you know, this is just stuff that I love to do. You know, and it just ultimately, slowly over the years, just became my career. Over the decades, I've seen spinning, indoor cycling, kettlebells, TRX, power pump. I mean, so many things have come and gone that I've seen over the decades that has been amazing. But it really comes down to good old-fashioned Jane Fonda calisthenics and aerobics because it looks like that's made a comeback with jazzercise lately. But everybody's just trying to get back to it with the weights on the ankles. I even saw nowadays people have weights for your wrists so that you could just walk around and have these bracelets of weights around your wrist. You know, hey, nothing is really brand new as far as I'm concerned in the industry, but what seems to continue to be an issue are people finding the time, you know, to exercise and making it a part of their life. Now, I have also coached kids volleyball. I've worked with the after-school programs. So I've just always been a person of service to others. That's just what I enjoy doing. I unfortunately never thought about, oh, I need to probably make money so I can ultimately buy a house and retire one day. Never thought about that. I know now personal trainers, I think since, what is that show? Some reality show, some Biggest Loser or something, or maybe Oprah when she lost all that weight and she talked about her trainer. Did it become big maybe in about 20 years ago or so? But that just never was my thing. I just do it just because I like giving people information and trying to help them. But my path, unfortunately, I started having some health issues. I didn't understand what was going on, and I went to a lot of doctors, and they couldn't tell me what was going on. And not until maybe 7 or 8 years of dealing with some challenges did someone mention something called perimenopause. And I'm like, what is that? That makes no sense. I thought there was only menopause. And this is pre-internet, I'd say before 2006, 2005. So going to the library, trying to find information about this perimenopause and why isn't there enough information? Why don't a lot of doctors know about this? And years later, I found a feminine care kind of clinic doctor, and things have progressed with me. And I would say the reason why I'm mentioning it is because I never was the type of girl who had, you know, forgive me those of you out there, but, you know, it has to be said, you know, there's sometimes girls who have menstruation issues. They have cramps and all that other kind of stuff. I never had any of those issues. So to all of a sudden have that and have adult acne, it was just really strange. And what it has done to me has completely changed the person who I am, completely. It made me not enjoy exercising anymore. You know, just like you, Tammy, I love boxing. I love capoeira. I love dancing. There are so many things that I did, and then because my personality changed, because my hormones were changing, it turned me into more of a, I'd say, emotional person. What I mean, emotional for me, because I'm just not the type to cry easily or be jealous or have any of those types of issues. And to go through those types of emotions and not have control of it, over it, was very strange. And then not to have the outlet of exercising, of doing the things that I love to do, was very challenging for me. At one point, I was able to distract myself and start coaching girls volleyball again, and that brought me a lot of joy. But I still just had in the back of my mind, you know, just not being able to enjoy it as much as I normally would. And I would say that as of late, I've just become my own personal training client. You know, I remember when I would have clients and I would sit down and discuss their goals and, you know, what are their lifestyles? Do you work? You know, are you always sitting down? Do you commute? And I could always understand where they were coming from. I could even empathize, you know, if they had children, if they had a supportive partner or not. But one of the things I could not do until recently was relate to people who were in that instance. Because exercising, doing something physical is me. And to all of a sudden not be physical and not want to be physical, it just dawned on me, like, that's how, you know, mere mortals, you know, what they experience. And I would say that in my practice of being a trainer, that's probably the one thing that has shifted in my practice of working with people. I've always been able to explain things to people so that they can understand it, break things down for people. Maybe that's my superpower. I don't know where, I can't really pinpoint where I got it from. It's just my nature, I guess. But having more of that relatability to people because I now have become them, I think makes a difference. And yeah, I think in the last like about 5 to 10 years, that's been the difference in my training in Pilates with people and just one-on-one personal training is what's been different. But yeah, you know, being an athlete I ran track at Santa Monica College, you know, for the great Tommy Smith. You know, we're talking about Black History Month. You know, he's the famous man who had the black glove on and put a fist in the air on the podium. You know, that man was my coach. And yeah, and so that was, I was at my best, and I was in my early 20s at that time, and I was at my best. And to see a few pictures of that person, you know, I'm just like, I want to get back to that. And I, you know, it's the only thing now working for Club Pilates is that I have the tools to get back there. And working, and that's why I can really empathize and understand you guys as students and what you're going through and why I can say, yep, I know what your knee feels like. I know what your lower back feels like, you know, because I'm going through it. And I think that makes people feel more comfortable. You know, I know before when I was that, you know, track runner, you know, had that track body, you know, it could be maybe a little condescending or looking at somebody like, oh, I want to be like you. But being like everyone else, it's less intimidating. I'm finding that, at least that's what I'm getting from the people who I talk to. They feel like I truly am there for them. So I guess that's the good thing.
Yeah, you know, and so often, I got to tell you, I can totally relate because so often I'm a nutritionist, right? So obviously I'm helping a lot of people. And like we become service workers and we serve others. That's our purpose. That's our drive. That's what we do for a living. And then so often we neglect our own self and our own like mind, body, soul and all that kind of stuff. And so for me, exactly what you said, I know what to do. I know what to do.
Yeah.
I've been in fitness and nutrition for years. And
yeah,
like my whole career, my degree is in, you know, my minor is physical education. My degree is in education. My master's is sports management, kinesiology. So like, so we know what to do, but for me, and Pilates is not cheap. It's not cheap. But I feel like this, you get what you pay for, and I don't like to waste money. I don't know about you. I don't like to waste money, and especially money I don't have. So for me, if I'm spending that money, best believe I'm logging in there and I'm going to be booking up my classes and I'm going to be going and attending and I feel better. And it's an exercise. I don't have to think about other people to like, I don't have to think about, okay, what am I going to do today to train? Now I know I can develop workouts because I've done it, you know, 12 coaches. Come on. You know, you know what to do, but I don't want to think about that at the end of the day. That's, to me, it's more work for me. So I like to be, like, more mindful in what I do and mindless when I go to Pilates and just listen to you and other instructors tell me what to do so I don't have to think about that. So that's, I pay for that luxury. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. I overstand what you're saying. It's like we are helping others, but trying to fit it in our own. We could tell everyone by the book, like, how to do it, but trying to do it ourselves is a whole other deal. And like you said, it has to be part of your life. It has to be an important like goal. It has to be, you know, like I used to divide a calendar like a day into four, like a pie chart. And I'd put my music goal, my fitness goal, my nutrition goal, my quiet time, my spiritual moment. And I would literally put X's in each of those boxes to make sure I just did that. And when, if I did those four things in one day, I felt complete. And so I used to do that. And maybe getting back to those little basics is a way to do, but you know, I know you titled, you wanted to kind of title this whole segment, Being Well is Well-Being, Balance, Chaos.
Yeah.
I want to dig into that because I saw there's so many ways I can take that, but I want to hear from you. What does that mean to you? Where were you getting with that?
At one point when I was, you know, trying to figure out what was going on with me, and I'm an overthinker, but I'm also self-aware. So I can usually tell by if I'm speaking to someone, if I get a weird facial expression, then either I'm coming off curt, straight to the point, something. And a lot of that was happening at one point. So I decided to just, you know, really take some time and think about what I was doing. I was just my own therapist. I never went to a therapist proper. I've always just been my own therapist. So at one point, I came to a conclusion of being comfortable with myself, being happy with myself, accepting, you know, who I am. And I went to New York, I believe it was my 30th birthday, and I got a tattoo, and I called it Balanced Chaos. So my tattoo is a combination of, you know, I'm a fire sign, the yin and the yang. It's just a bunch of opposites. And I named it Balanced Chaos because it's about doing that. You know, there's always going to be chaos. I can complain about, you know, my upbringing and various things, but it's how I'm going to deal with that that matters. How am I going to balance that and just say, hey, you know, those people acted the way they did because they had sadness, something was going on with them, but it did not affect me because I've always had love. And that's just where I was. So at that point, it just was important for me to also, I always think of people as human beings first. And before your title, you know, you could be the president, you're still a human being first. And I don't put anyone on a pedestal. It's just not my personality to do that. And when I look at people as human beings, I also choose to treat them the way they want to be treated. I can deal with a lot. If somebody called me the B word or, you know, the N word, I don't get offended by that because they're just words and obviously this person does not know me. But if a person attacks my character, the person who I am, I take issue with that more so than anything else. So when I'm thinking about being well and having well-being, I think that is a journey that a lot of people take, but I'm not sure they really understand why or exactly where they want to go. They think they know how they want to do it because now things are so accessible. People have apps. I even saw someone the other day, another instructor, she was on TikTok, and there were these animated characters, you know, doing fitness moves and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, what is that? And I just have, from 30 years of being in the industry, I've got a Rolodex in my brain of all sorts of things. I would not even consider going on TikTok, you know, looking up, oh, how do I do this workout or that workout? So, you know, all that kind of stuff is just slightly strange to me. But being well, I think for people, they have to define that. Maybe it's being cancer-free or maybe it's not having soreness so much. But well-being, I find that to be something people don't quite have a definition for. Because that is a balance of your spirit. And the spirit of who you are as a person is that triangle. Your spirit is at the top, but the base would be your body and your mind. And people easily just don't think about their mind. But if you don't have a purpose in your mind of who you want to be, where you want to be, your body has no clue what to do. Because as you know, you know, the synapses in the brain, if we want to get technical, you know, that's what's telling your body to walk in a certain way. Are you the type of person who walks on their tiptoes? Do you turn your toes out when you walk? Do you, you know, run, you know, your shoes? Do you tend to run them out at the heels or the ball of the foot? These are all little things that people don't think about that affect their well-being, if they're being going to be well. And these are the kind of things that I like to bring to people's attention, because it's not so much just an injury that you need to go to, you know, physical therapy for. How you are in the kitchen, you know, when you're cooking, are you shifting your weight? Are you squatting when you get those big heavy pots from the bottom? I mean, when you're sitting and watching TV, are you favoring one arm of the chair or not? So, well-being to me is that combination of being well within yourself. That's mentally, obviously physically, but spiritually, I think is something that's not talked about. I mean, I think lately now it's being talked about. Mental health, I think, is something that is being discussed finally. But what does that mean for somebody, mental health? It doesn't have to be something as exaggerant as having a spouse or a loved one who demeans you and talks bad to you, or maybe even, unfortunately, physically abuses you. But it could just be, like, I've never had a boyfriend who's ever told me to shut up. I've always had boyfriends who were like, I would never say shut up to you. Now, for somebody else, saying shut up is, it's like, what's that big of a deal? Well, it is a big deal, because even something as minuscule as those two words, you know, that can affect a person. That definitely should affect a relationship, because if that person can just speak that way and just throw that out flippantly, then that's just testing the waters, and then things can progress from there, you know, without even thinking about it. So, yeah, I just believe in the foundation of the trifecta is, you know, your mind and your body is what connect to the spirit of who you are. And for a lot of people who are unhappy, I'd be willing to bet that there's an imbalance in how they think and how they feel and how they look.
Yeah. No, these are all really, really good points. And I think what's really, really important, and you really kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head, it's really kind of, and it's weird, because I passed by a sign today. In fact, I took a picture of it on the road, which is horrible because I was in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I love this little area. It's like kind of right by Chinatown. I work in downtown. And
yeah,
I love this. There's like two buildings that I pass by. There's one in Chinatown and one every weekend when I take my daughter to perform in art school. It's a dry cleaner place, and they always have positive quotes, and I'm like, okay, feed me today. What do you have for me today? And it's always right on time.
Yeah.
But the one today by Chinatown, it says, enjoy where you are now. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
What confirmation is that? Enjoy where you are now. And I think one thing that we kind of forget that you kind of alluded to was being happy with where you are right this second. And what can you do? My friend always says, Patty, she's, what can you do with what you have, where you're at, like right now? What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
So love yourself where you're at, but then have goals, but love yourself where you're at and just be present. And you said that earlier, like when you're in class, like, I don't care how your day was, what's going on in your life right now. Be present, be in the now, be in this class, be here right now. Listen to my voice. Listen to the tools that I can give you right now for when you're having a tough time, a challenging time, to be able to tap into those things and be better, you know. And I think, and I tell you what, I fall short of this all the time, but I remind myself of this. And luckily I had that quote remind me today, living in that present moment is so critical, because how often we live in the most distracting world there is. You can't escape. Okay, so here's the thing. If you can't get a hold of somebody, there's a problem. There's no way you can get off the grid in this earth right now, unless you're like that bear guy, you know, on the mountain that they show on TV, living survival off the grid.
Yeah.
But no, you can't. We have cell phones. We have texting. Mm-hmm. We have voicemails. Mm-hmm. We have home phones, if you have that still. We have we have call boxes. We have other people's cell phones. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Snapchat. We have TikTok. We have Instagram. We have every type of communication possible. So if you can't get a hold of somebody, it's because they simply don't want to talk to you, period. So, like, there's no way you can escape it. And people are so distracted. There's so many distractions in this world right now, whether it be – and even, like, you got me thinking, too, one day you were like, you know, put your phone down, you know, not us in class, but you're just like – you made me mindful of, like, how we look at our phone. I'm like, you know what? I really try hard not to bring my phone near the reformer. I try to keep it in my cubby at Pilates because – that is our biggest distraction right there is phones, phones. And a lot of times, even on the cruise, like, we're looking at our phones. Like, really? What? What? We're taking pictures
of
our phones.
You've got a live
Why are we doing that?
Next to you.
The other day, I went to lunch with one of my girlfriends, and I could not believe it. We were sitting there going, are you kidding me right now? This mom took her son to lunch, and they didn't say one word to each other. The son must have been about 11 years old. And they sat on their phones. Both of them had a phone, you know, each of them had a phone. They were looking at their phones, and then they ate, and then they left. And then that was it. They didn't even, are you enjoying your food? Nothing.
Yeah.
And we were like, this is where we live right now, you know?
Well, and that's a whole nother issue for me, too, are these kids. I mean, and that's a whole other topic right there, but what I'll say is this. What I found interesting during the pandemic were the complaints from parents about, you know, what schools are doing or not doing. And I was thinking, well, you as a parent, don't you still have access to the internet? Don't you still have access to Amazon? I mean, I don't like ordering from them a lot, but whatever. But still, you can order some books, right? And it's like you as a parent aren't really going anywhere. You're not going to work. So shouldn't that be a time to collectivize with your children and get some board games out and have some more conversations? I mean, it wasn't it seems like it was an opportunity that for some people was missed, but then some of these parents wanted to put the blame on who they think are supposed to be babysitting their children during the day, which is one of the reason, the main reason why I decided not to go into being a traditional teacher, because when I did get a taste of it, I was going to be doing more counseling and being someone's parent as opposed to sticking to curriculum, and which would have been fine, but I happen to be the type, a sensitive person where I would want to take all the kids home with me. So I decided I would be useless to the kids as a teacher because I, you know, it just wouldn't work for me like that. But I just think that it's really difficult for parents. I really feel for parents right now and what they're dealing with the social media and their children and how their children are reacting. I mean, if you don't have the expendable income to get your child involved in extracurricular activities, I mean, I'm really not sure how you're doing it. I really don't.
But, you know, I tell you, during COVID, there was some really, like during the pandemic, I would say there were some really good things and some really bad things that kind of, you know, happened. You know, I think we were able to kind of get in tune and touch with life and what life is really about and the things that we missed because we couldn't do them. And then I think too, you know, we had to be creative with when gyms were closed, how are we going to work out? How are we going to take care of ourselves? And most people, you know, gained weight because they were just trying to find something that was comforting, and food was one of them. And then not having gyms open, it makes it extra hard because now you have to figure out your own strategy on how to stay in shape. I mean, and these habits are hard to break. I mean, what advice do you have for people out there that are still living in the pandemic world that have just not got back on their feet again? You know, and there's a lot of them. I would say, like, honestly, probably 80% of the people out there have not got back on the horn. What advice, and you know, girl, you know, it's February. So now you're going to start seeing January, the gym was packed. Because I have a gym membership too. That thing was packed. It was annoying as hell. I had to wait 5 minutes, you know, 10 minutes for a darn machine. I'm like, this is so stupid. People coming up to me, are you done yet? And I'm like, no. And now you know, going into March, those gyms
That's
are
right.
going to be empty again. They're going to be empty
exactly
again. We
right.
know it, right? All those fat loss, get lose your weight in 10 days, you know, all those commercials.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for people to kind of get back on the let's get fit and don't fall into that trap of like, forget it. And then you know what happens in May. Oh, my God, I got to get ready for summer. And they think they can do it in 30 days.
Yeah.
You see this dip. For the dippers, what kind of advice do you have?
I would say a couple of things. You know, if I'm talking to somebody who might be a potential client, I first have to make sure that they're ready. Now, I'm not the type who's, like, scaring them, like, oh, you know, we're going to be doing this and that. I don't get into – I'm just not that kind of a person. I just like to lay it out. So one of the first things I like to lay out is, okay, obviously asking what their goal is, and then the good old-fashioned basics. One is 1 pound of fat is 3,500 calories. So, again, 1 pound of fat on your body – is 3,500 calories. There are 7 days in the week, and if you divide that by 3,500, then you got 500 calories a day. So if your goal is to lose X amount of pounds, and in general, the equation is, you know, maybe safely losing 1 to 2 pounds a week. So there you go. 3,500 is 1 pound of fat. 500 calories a day times 7 is 3,500. So that's how you can potentially get to that 1 pound a day. Now, how do you do that? Well, here's the answer. If you're going to burn 500 calories, or if you're not going to eat 500 calories, or you do 250 calories of not eating. So if you normally, you know, if you're eating, you know, 2,500 calories, well, knock out 250 from that 25, right? That's a good start. And then maybe go for a walk. Going for a walk for not even 15 minutes, you can burn easily 250. So I usually start with that because that's a good start of starting to get it into the mind. And then after about a month of doing that, then you're ready to kick it up. And maybe if you're going to the gym or something, then that's a whole nother equation, you know, to get into as far as what to do. Because it always depends on the person's body and if they have any injuries, if it's an elliptical versus a recumbent bike, you know, that kind of thing. So I just suggest people start with that. Again, 3,500 calories is 1 pound of fat. So however much, you know, you are over your normal weight, then just do the math, and it's 500 calories a day, and either you're going to do 500 or of burning on an elliptical at a gym or going out and doing a walk, or 500 out of your eating, or you do a combo of both. That's an easy way to start. Now, notice how we're not talking nutrition. We're not getting into any specific details about that, but just getting those numbers into your brain so that you can start looking at, do I go for the packaged Pringles or do I go and get a fruit and vegetable plate, right? So those are the type of decisions that ultimately need to be made. Now, to a point that you mentioned before, yes, Pilates is expensive. And for a very long time, it was, I would unfortunately say, it was probably for people in a specific demographic and accessible to those types. And let me also be clear that Pilates normally has been done in studios where it's been done similar to physical therapy. Now we have a lot of studios that are open, and there are also contemporary studios, classical studios that we call them, where they have more than, you know, 5 reformers up to 12 reformers. So they're beginning to make it accessible to people, but yes, it is expensive because it is not just going out and working out just for the sake that you sweated and you can say you did something. This Pilates is for people who are ready to change their lifestyle, actually be injury-free. I think of it as preventative health care. If you do not want to be on crutches or in a wheelchair sooner than you need to be, and if you want to grow older being as independent as long as you want to be, then Pilates is how you're going to get there, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no other, you know, I love a lot of different things, but Pilates, and wait, let me just back up a little bit. So along with Pilates, maybe Tai Chi, you know, something like that. Those are the types of movements that you can do into your 70s, your 80s, and 90s. That's going to keep you
right.
as healthy as possible. But that's where, if you're going to look at it as being, quote, expensive, then you have to do the cost-benefit analysis for yourself. Do you want
right.
to keep getting injured, and then you're going to ER, you're going to urgent care because you keep having these injuries, and you could do the math on that, tally that up, versus, you know, going to some Pilates classes, either doing a private or going once or twice a week, and that being your functional type of exercise that you can learn at the studio, but then also take it with you, and you can do a few exercises, you know, at home, you know, until you feel that you can make more of an investment in it. Because that's all it is. You're investing in yourself. You're investing in your life.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm telling you, when I don't do it, I feel it. You know, I get more sore. I'm not as agile, like I have less cramps. Like I used to cramps in my calves and my quads and my foot, like weird cramps all the time. Like, what is going on? Do I need more magnesium?
Yeah.
No, it was movement.
Yeah.
I did not move enough.
Yeah.
And this like circulates your whole body. You know, it helps your circulation. It helps your flexibility. It helps you work muscles that you never, like below your belt, like and all these things. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like I never thought about any of these body parts. Mine was punching a bag, running, calisthenics. Like, I was doing all different types, but this is a different deal. In fact, I was next door at F45, which I love, but re-injured my – I loved it because it was impact, high impact, quick circuit training, quick, 45 minutes in and out. Then I left, and I literally on a weekend, I walked down the stairs, fell down the stairs, boom, re-injured my knee and said I had to cancel my membership. Yeah, had to cancel my membership, and then – I couldn't go to back to boxing. I couldn't do anything. Re-injured it.
Oh.
So I could, not off of that, but off of falling down the stairs. Simple thing, like just going to Hobby Lobby with my daughter to build a fairy garden. Something silly. And fell down the stairs. But I caught myself before my leg was about to twist and break in half. I caught myself because of the quick reflexive movement, the reflexology. Like reflexes from that class helped me to where I didn't break and snap my leg in half and hit my head. So I say that to say now I'm in a different place in life. I needed a new exercise and I'm glad I found my home here. But two, like instructors like you that really care and are passionate about what you do and break it down in layman's terms for us to understand and not make us feel silly or stupid. Like you literally are trying to help us with the best quality of life. So that's something you could either pay your doctors or you could pay your pharmacist.
Yes.
Or you can go take an amazing exercise class and take care of yourself. So with that, we're about to run out of time, but I want you to tell all of our listeners how they can follow you, how they can contact you, and any last words that you have tonight.
I am beginning to get back to social media. I would say on Facebook, I the cat on Instagram. It's I the cat. My nickname is Kat. But, I would just say people just be well and try to gain well-being because this ride is long. It's not short, but how do you want to spend it? And for most of us, I think that we want to be independent in our lives, live our lives as long as we want. And doing some kind of physical activity and balancing it with your eating habits is the only way that's going to happen, period.
I agree. I want to thank you so, so much for being on the show tonight and for sharing your knowledge and your story with us. There's so much more that we could talk about. I'll have to have you back on my show again to talk about another subject. I look forward to creating a blog and putting it on the platform. Thank you so much. You know, you've been amazing on the show, and there's so much more that we want to gain from you later. But I just wish you nothing but success, and just I'm so grateful for you to be a part of the show tonight. So thank you.
No, I appreciate the ask, Tammy. Thank you so much. This has really done a lot for my spirit. Thank you. And thank you to everybody else for listening. Cheers.
Absolutely. Cheers. Be well.